I couldn't help but think as we were singing that song, it's good to be home. That's not the home the song's talking about, but it is good to be home. Enjoyed a good family reunion with my family. Somebody asked me if we had a good time, and I replied, ask me, don't ask Diane. And they said, well, does she have a problem? I said, well, she was in the house with 42 fudges. She said, the person I said that to said, well, she signed up for it. I said, no, just one, not 42, I would have said. But as it turned out, it was a good time, a good vacation. All of my brothers, my mother were able to be there. My sister did not make it, nor her family. But the rest of us, with very few exceptions, were all there. I think Diane said she counted about 18 mother's great-grandchildren that were there. So it was a good time, and we did enjoy it. It is good to be back here, though. We attended service in Knoxville last Sunday morning and in Pigeon Forge last Sunday night, and it was good to visit with other Christians in other places, but it's always good to be back here and to be with you here at Ephesus. As many of you know, we are leaving again this afternoon. Diane and I will be working in a summer camp down near Russellville. I'll be teaching Bible classes and working as a counselor. She'll be helping with some of the crafts. So we'll be gone all this week. Please remember Bobby, as he has his hip replacement on Tuesday, and others that are sick and having surgeries. It's always good to be here with you. And as we begin to study this morning, I want to think about doing the will of God. And it's a rather lengthy reading, but John chapter 5, beginning there in verses 19 and 20, or 19, actually we're going to read 19 through 30. That's a typo. I looked at that and I thought, well, that's not a very lengthy reading, is it? Two verses. Well, let's go to verse 30. We're going to get all the way to verse 30. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things also the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As we read this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying that he came to do the will of the Father. And that's what we read there in verse 19 as we began. He said the Son can do nothing of himself, for whatever the Father does, the Son does these things in like manner. We see down in verse 30, he said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so as we look at this passage, there's no question that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. That's why he came to earth. But why? Why did Jesus do this? Why did he have such commitment to doing the will of God? Well, I think that probably one of the reasons that we see in this passage that we just read is because it's right for sons to imitate their fathers. Going back again to verse 19. He says, whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. It's just right for sons to do what their fathers do. And that is an awesome responsibility as a father, but at the same time, it is the fact of life. And most of the time, that's how you can tell what a son's going to turn out to be, by looking at the father. Another reason that Jesus had such commitment, and because he did the will of the Father, was just simply to be obedient, to carry out the will of the Father. He wanted to obey. And so here in verses 19 and 20, he says, whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does. And he says, the Father shows him all things that he himself is doing. And so he just wanted to be obedient. Jesus wanted to obey the Father. And so as we look at why he did this, why he came to do the will of the Father, it was just simply to be obedient to the Father. He did it to honor the Father. You see, when a son is obedient to the Father, it gives honor to that Father. And so he says, even so they honor the Father, and he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus on more than one occasion told parables of situations where that he was not being honored, and as a result, God was not being honored. He taught that here. He taught it again in chapter 6 of John. And the fact is that if we honor Jesus, we honor the Father. And so when Jesus came to do the will of God, he did it to honor his Father. He did it because of love. Probably one of the most compelling reasons why anybody does what they do is because of love. It may be love of another person. It may be love of self. It may be love of things. But whatever motivates us is usually, when you get right down to it, has to do with love. But you see, Jesus loved the Father. And God loved Jesus. And because of that love, then, he was compelled to do the will of God. It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. He didn't hold anything back. And so it is because of love of the Father that Jesus did the things that he did. But Jesus came to do the will of God, to give eternal life. We read there in verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Dropping down to verse 24, we read, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And so we see that Jesus came to do the will of the Father so that he could give eternal life to those that would believe in him, and those that would listen to him, and those that would do his will. Again, dropping down to verse 26, he says, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And so we see that Jesus did the will of the Father. And he did it for a lot of different reasons, and there may be other reasons that you can come up with, but he did it so that he could honor God, and he did it out of love for God, and he did it for us so that we might have eternal life. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and we're to do the will of God, our Father. But why? Why should we do the will of God? Well, again, there are multiple reasons that are given, and one of these that seems to sort of stand out to me as I looked at this lesson is that we are to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus came to do the will of God. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father. And if we follow the example of Jesus, then that will be our attitude as well. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he says, what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it patiently, endure it, this finds favor with God, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. You see, we are to follow in the steps of Jesus. We're to follow His example. And Jesus did the will of the Father. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning there in verse 5, he says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in likeness of men," that's like me and you, "being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And so Jesus set an example of obedience for us, and we are to follow the example of Jesus, and we're to be what Jesus wants us to be. But not only that, we're to do the will of God because God is our Father. And as our Father, it's right for us to imitate Him. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, and there in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." And so he says, yes, we are to imitate God. And the reason we imitate God is because we are His children. We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." In Ephesians 1 verses 3 and 4, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." And so you see, God wants us to be like Him because we are His children. Jesus set the example for us of doing the will of God, and God says, "I want you to follow My will because you are My children." Not only that, we follow the will of God and we do the will of God to be obedient to Him. And as we are obedient to Him, then He carries out His will in us. And so we are to be obedient to the Father. In Ephesians 2 and verses 8 through 10, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." And then he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so God intended for us to do His will. He made us for that very purpose. And even before we were formed, even before we were created, God had in mind for us a plan, and He had in mind for us to do His will. Going to the book of Philippians in chapter 2 again in verses 12 and 13, he says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And then he says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." You see, God has a job for us. And our job is to do His will. That means our mind and our attitude has to be just like the mind and the attitude of Jesus, which was to do the will of God. And we have to have that same attitude that says, "I'm not here to do my will, I'm here to do the will of God." Paul demonstrated that when he said, "It's no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus lives in me." And so we are to have this attitude, and we are to do the will of God. James chapter 4, there beginning in verse 7, James says, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You see, the more we seek to serve God, the closer we will get to Him, and the more we will want to be like Him. The fact is, we can either draw near to God or we can drift away from God. We're not going to stand still. None of us are stagnant in life. And every day of our lives, we either submit to God and we draw closer to Him and He draws closer to us, or we drift away from Him. He hasn't moved, but we do as we drift away from God. And so it is up to us to submit to Him and to do His will. Paul says that when we really want to serve God and we're living by the Spirit and we're walking by the Spirit, then we're not going to carry out the desires of the flesh. And this is the practical part of this. Because the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Notice what he says. He says, you see, you can either do what you want to do or you can do what God wants you to do. And these might oppose each other, and you can't do both. And so we have to make up our minds, are we going to do what God wants us to do, or are we going to do what we want to do? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I've forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, this is the way you'll end up if you don't follow the will of God. But if we follow the will of God, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And so we, like Paul, must be willing to say that I am crucified with Christ, because we are to put to death the desires of the flesh. And we are to live for Him and allow Him to live in us. Another reason that we are to do the will of our God is because our obedience honors our Father. We need to honor Him. He is deserving of all honor. He is deserving of praise. He is deserving of glory. And we deserve, we owe it to Him to give Him honor and respect and reverence. And there is nothing that shows respect and reverence for God more than simply doing the will of God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, as he is praying for the Ephesians, beginning in verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then in chapter 2, we see that the more we do for God, the more He does for us and the more He does through us. In chapter 2, beginning of verse 19, he says, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Paul told the Corinthians that we individually are the temple of God as well as the church. And so we are to be built up so that God may dwell in us and that we might glorify Him and that we might honor Him in all that we do. We need to bring honor to God. But we also imitate Jesus and we obey God because of love. Because of His great love for us, we love Him. And true love requires obedience. You're familiar with John 3:16. He says, and we'll just read verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And then in 1 John chapter 4, there beginning in verse 10, He says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." God's love makes us not only love Him, but it makes us love each other. And as God's love is truly perfected in us, then we are truly becoming more like Him every day. In 1 John chapter 2, He says, "The one who says, 'I've come to know Him,' does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You know, it's one thing to claim to be a Christian. It's one thing to claim to be serving God. But if we don't do the will of God, then we're not really serving Him. And John says that we're a liar. "Whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. And by this we know we're in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, He says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And so if we have our minds and our hearts set on seeing God and being with God in eternity, then we're going to purify ourselves. We're going to live for Him. We're going to serve Him. We're going to do the will of God in our lives every day. We do the will of God to receive eternal life. In John chapter 6, and 39 and 40, He says, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." And so we do the will of God so that we might have eternal life. Going back to our text in John chapter 5, verses 21 through 29. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." And so the question that stands this morning is, am I doing the will of God in my life today? Are you doing the will of God in your life? This morning, if you're not a Christian, then you are not doing the will of God. You may be a good person in a lot of ways. You might be a good neighbor. You might be a good brother or sister or father or mother or friend, good worker, whatever the case may be. But if you're not a Christian, you are not doing the will of God. And that means that you do not have eternal life. It means that if you die today, you'll be lost in hell. But that's not necessary, because Jesus did come and He did give His life for you and for your sin, so that you might be forgiven and have eternal life. So we would urge you this morning to come to Jesus and follow His word. Hear what He says. And confess your faith in Him as the Son of God, as the risen Savior. And turn away from sin in your life and be baptized into Jesus Christ. As Paul puts it in Romans 6, baptized into His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and then raised up to walk in newness of life. A new person in Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He'll give you His Holy Spirit to live in you, to help you to become like Him. And when life is over, you'll have eternal life with God in heaven. And so we urge you this morning to do the will of God and come to Him today. This morning, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?